Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. Today we're talking about how you can approach marketing in a very different way. I know that so many of us can think about marketing as being slimy or a terrible experience, but it doesn't have to be that way. My guest today is going to share tips with you on how you can create an excellent online customer experience, which is marketing. So she comes at this angle of being a guide, much like you would have a guide on a hike. So just like a guide would tell you what to wear on the hike, what to expect, and then navigating the actual trail, there are a few steps ahead of you anticipating what is next so that they can guide you safely and intentionally so you have a great experience. And this, my friend, is how you can approach your marketing and feel so much better doing it. But before I turn the mic over to her, I want to tell you a little bit about my guest today. Caitlin creates digital experiences that are delightful, engaging, and smooth as butter. I just love that that's part of her bio. It's literally spelled B-U-T-T-A-H. Love it so much. And that just tells you so much about her right away. So she helps online business owners make sure that their clients are superbly serviced and their needs are anticipated and the ball never drops. How fantastic are these words? I just love it. She is also fascinated by human connection in digital spaces and harnessing tech for good and for fun. She is amazing, and I can truly attest to the fact that she is not only good at approaching marketing in this way, but she shows up in her life and for others in this way too. She is very, very supportive and really thinks about the experience overall, meaning the human experience. So I connected with Caitlin as I was finishing my book, and she randomly checked in with me over several months just to make sure I was having fun in the process. Each time I was reminded from her to have fun, I did something related to my book that was fun. She was very good about helping me really harness the fun in all of the stress. So I know that you're going to love what we talk about today, but I wanted to give you that little insight of how she was able to help me in my business and in that specific time period of finishing my book. So thank you, Caitlin, for everything. And so in our conversation, we're going to talk about how you can approach marketing in this great way to create a wonderful experience for your clients, your website viewers, all of these things. So I'll turn it over to Caitlin now. Thank you so much, Caitlin, for being here today. I'm so excited to talk to you about all things like positive marketing that's helpful. So all the good stuff. But before we dive in, could you please introduce yourself and tell everyone how you help your clients?
You bet. So I'm a digital experience designer. That means that I design spaces on the internet, like websites and membership spaces. But I also take it a step further by making sure that the way that your clients move through those spaces is really delightful and fun and engaging and awesome for them. So I work with mostly service providers and membership community leaders and some course creators.
I love that. That phrase, digital experience. I think when you and I first connected, that's what got me right away. So we were on a networking event that Cher Hale put on. Shout out to Cher. And you said something about a digital experience. And I was like, oh, that got me. And you know, from the marketing perspective, I talk about all the time of like, you want to have something when you introduce yourself that sparks that moment of like, ooh, even though I don't know exactly what she means, I want to know more. So it sparked that curiosity for me. And I just love it so much. And then you and I connected and continued the conversation about marketing being more like guiding people. And I just really love that. So would you share your take on being a guide?
You bet. And I love hearing that that's what perked your ears up. That sparked a lot of joy in me to that I got you was like what I intended for that to do. And it was a nice little pat on the back to go, ooh, she liked it. So when I think of marketing and really like in any avenue of marketing, so like a lot of the marketing I do for my clients revolves around websites and email marketing, right? Somebody lands on your website, they're not ready to buy from you yet. They sign up for your email newsletter, they get a nurture sequence automatically sends out stuff like that. But I think this extends to really any marketing you do for your business. And also through the door, like past marketing, once somebody becomes a client and they are experiencing what you have to offer, my kind of North Star with it, it's the idea of being a good guide to them. Like it's my job to walk them through. They've arrived, they've sort of tumbled through the door, like this like mysterious internet door. They've tumbled through or like busted through like the Kool-Aid man. And they look around and they're like, whoa, where am I? And it's my job to take them by the hand and say, hey, here's where you are. This is how I can help you. And stay curious about what they need and what they're looking for and just kind of walk them. It's like being Gandalf. So the idea is checking your assumptions at the door and being curious about what they need and where they're at and slowing down and just taking them through everything. So how could I paint that picture for you?
I feel like you're already doing a great job. Not to interrupt your thought process there, but I'm thinking, like I was visualizing, you know, we can often visualize someone walking through a brick and mortar door, right? And they walk in and they look around the store, you know, and some stores are really well thought out and you know where to go. Other stores, you're like, I have no idea what's going on. And I'm thinking about like all of these examples of going into a store of like, you know, when you walk into an Apple store, it's like there's one counter that you know to go to be like, I need help. And there's someone actually right at the beginning, like, what do you need? Because usually you're either looking to buy something or something is broken and you're freaking out, right?
SOS, like, help. Yep.
And then you go to IKEA and there's arrows on the floor.
I was going to say IKEA is an excellent example. You walk into an IKEA and they have crafted your user journey from the moment that you enter the store till you get kicked out at the meatballs. And like, you have no idea, a little bit like Disneyland too. Like there are probably some behind the scenes doors that people who work there can go through to get to the meatballs faster on their lunch break, but you don't know and you're oblivious and you are kind of snaked through this experience that was created and provided for every step. You don't actually ever pause and be like, do I go left or right? You just follow the arrows. And that's what we're talking about in terms of being a good guide. I noticed that, so for example, a lot of the clients that I have come from the online business space and they know that space. They know the etiquette. If I talk to them about, you know, Loom videos or Voxer, they know what I'm talking about. But occasionally I get a client that comes through my door that doesn't. They're from another industry, still an awesome client, but a different industry where these things are not the norm. And so I need to remember that not everybody knows what I'm talking about and to check those assumptions and, you know, assume that they don't know what to do and go from there, because either a couple of things could happen. They could not know your norms. You could not be communicating as well as you think you are. That's pretty typical. Or they can just be you know, like a human being out in the world with other things going on, aside from paying really close attention to the instructions that you're giving them. Like they could be being climbed by children at the moment, you know, or having a sick day or something. So being a good guide is somewhat of an act of just like grace, to take them through. Yeah. And I think that that elevates the experience on both sides of the equation, before they're your client and then afterwards. And it's something that's really easy to come back to no matter what you're up to kind of center yourself and ground yourself in like, how can I be of service here? How can I guide them through? How can I let them know where they are now, where they've been, what's coming next? Make sure they're in the loop, make sure they're comfortable, make sure they know what's happening, and give them that experience.
Oh, fantastically said. It's so wonderful to think about it in that way. And I know the people listening to this podcast feel like that, because usually we're talking about people showing up on our virtual doorstep, right? The people who show up on my virtual doorstep are like, I don't like marketing. But this lady said something that I was like, okay, because I'm always saying like marketing doesn't have to suck. It's really all about how you use it, and you can find what works for you. And so typically speaking, not everyone, but a lot of people show up and they're like, I don't like marketing. And so I don't really know what to do because I'm running this business. I feel like I need marketing, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
And that this idea of being a guide, I think, is going to really hone in and be like, it's going to hit people and be like, yes, this is what it is. And that's like, you take this idea of, okay, if you could set this up and just hold someone's hand as they're going through this experience, like what would that look like? Now, I have an interesting question, and this might be tough to figure out in general. Like it could vary person by person, but we'll see what happens. Let's try it out. So there's an interesting dance that I feel like we have to do. And it came up when you were talking about not making assumptions, which I totally agree with, right? Like whatever we're doing, we're steps ahead of whoever we're helping. That's the reason we can help them. Mm-hmm. So we, by default, know more about whatever that topic is. And it's easy to forget what the beginner or someone a few steps behind, like I'm with you on that. However, we also want to make sure we're pulling in the right person. And what I'm thinking about with this specifically is like, if anyone wants to work with someone at stage C of A to Z, right? They want to work at someone very specifically, not at stage A, but at stage C. I wouldn't suggest that they talk to the people in stage A.
Right.
Does that make sense? So how do you balance that of like making sure that you speak to the person who doesn't know everything, like Loom videos, et cetera, but making sure you call in the right client?
I think that takes a level of discernment, which is a learned skill that we just practice all the time. So by being a good guide, you're being the leader. You're saying, I've got this, and I'm going to take care of you, and I know what you need, and you're going to follow my lead, and here we go. But you still want to stay curious the whole time. It's not being a know-it-all and saying, I know what you need. So like, here, don't even ask me any questions. I know what we're going to do. Hush, 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 hush. I got it. That's not the same thing. When I think about being a guide, I don't think about being better than somebody. I think about just being the one who's leading the way. And as far as, you know, talking to everybody, but only attracting the right people. Yeah, I would agree that if you want to work with people who are at a specific stage in their journey, just speak to them. The people that are in different stages of their journey might take some really interesting nuggets from you. You will probably still serve some of them. They will still find their way to you, but they're on their own journey. They're on their own experience. You don't have to own everybody's experience that you talk to. But I think that how to be a good guide with people who are not the right fit for you means having a conversation with them. Like, all right, I'm going to say, maybe we're having like a discovery call, or somebody DMs you on Instagram. You're kind of just like getting to know this person. They're coming to you with a problem. They don't really know if you're the person to solve it yet. And you don't really know yet either. You're kind of just feeling each other out. Being a good guide would be staying curious during that conversation, asking them lots of questions about their experience, what's going on with them, what are their goals, how can you help them? And then at the end of the conversation, being a good guide also is saying, this isn't the path for you, but here's some other ways that you can go, and giving that, what a generous thing to say, mm-hmm. and what a real and honest and authentic thing to like deliver to them is to say, I don't think you're in the right place, but I know exactly where you could go. And let me send you, here's some links, here's somebody in my network, and then sending them off that way. And who knows, maybe they'll be back to you at some point in the future, because what a wonderful thing you just did for them.
Right. I think that's such a helpful tool, and it feels very generous and very authentic. So if you know this is not the right stage, or I'm not going to be the most helpful for this person, to have resources to send them, whether it's yours or someone else's. Mm-hmm. I feel like I encourage people to do that all the time, and they're like, what? Send them to someone else, like a different YouTube channel, yeah. or a different, and I'm like, absolutely. Absolutely,
that can feel
do
really
that.
Crazy, though. I do remember feeling similarly. Like, hold on, this person finally made their way to me. I've been trying to get clients, and here I have one. And what, you want me to send them away?
Right.
But it is a muscle you flex and grow, and that gets stronger. And at least for myself, I reached a point where I understood the value in turning someone away. Mm-hmm. Not just the value in trying to keep them. But if you're still navigating that experience for yourself, like, it's all right. That's something we're all figuring out as business owners. Like, and when you continue to take clients that aren't the right fit for you, again, no hate to anyone that's doing that. It's part of your process, your learning experience that you're going through. You'll learn why that doesn't work for you and why that doesn't work for them and why that's not creating the best results. And it's, you know, we're all figuring it out here.
Right. Hey there. I promise to get you back to the great episode you're listening to really soon. But first, I've got a question for you. How does success feel to you? This is a question that I didn't answer for many years in my business, but once I did, it changed everything. And I want the same for you. So I've created a free guide that will help you define success on your own terms in just 20 minutes. Go to amandamckinney.com/success to download the free guide so you can define success on your own terms and then unapologetically pursue that definition. Okay, let's jump back into the episode. Yeah, I think back to like what you're talking about of like this idea of being a guide, and I'm going back and forth in my head between this visual of like a guide on a trail and then IKEA. I keep thinking about these two things and thinking about like if I love being outside, but like going on a really strenuous hike is not my idea of fun. Like that's it's not my idea of fun. I think hiking in and of itself is fine, but like a really strenuous one, not mine. If I went to somewhere to go hiking and they were like, oh, it's really easy, you'll be fine, and it wasn't easy, I would have a terrible experience. Like I would not be set up for success with that. However, if someone said, this is difficult, you can do it, but it is difficult. These are the tools that you would need. Shoes. Like proper shoes or a walking stick or whatever. Here's how you can do it. Do you still want to do it? I would be like, okay, I'm more prepared. Mm-hmm. I'm more mentally prepared for this, and I could choose yes or no. And so I'm thinking about this in terms of marketing and how we can say like, okay, no matter what it is, website, social media, email, whatever. And we sit down with ourselves and ask ourselves, how can we help the person that's walking up to us and prepare them for whatever comes next? Mm-hmm. That seems like an interesting take on like, I've just never thought about it in that way of thinking about it like that.
I love that idea. And I love the trail visual. I do like long hikes. What popped up in my head was car salesman. So car salesman, if you go to buy a car, if you're not a lot of people don't know a lot about cars.
Right.
If you're listening and you know a ton about cars, perhaps this doesn't apply to you. But like, I don't know a lot about cars. I know what cars I like based on the way that they look. Mm-hmm. I know that I need a car with like, you know, trunk space is important to me. But as far as like engine specs or anything, like I have no idea what I'm talking about. And if I was going to go buy a car, and I have done this, car salesmen are sort of, they feel like the final frontier to me in terms of like gatekept. There's a lot of gatekeeping there. When I find a car salesman, like I have a problem, I need a car, and I need to trust them to help me with the unique knowledge that they have that I simply cannot get. And like, if I spend enough time on the internet, sure, I could go down their YouTube rabbit holes and figure it out. But like, honestly, it would take me a long time to understand cars at the level I need to not need a used car salesman.
Right.
And so there's something of a bond that needs to happen for me to feel safe purchasing from this person. And what they do that makes me feel safe is showing up for me for my best interests and asking me questions and giving me, being generous with that information. I'm remembering very clearly a salesman who was not that at all. He talked over me. He was playing games with me. Like it was, I could see that I was being like manipulated and there were tactics going on. And it made me feel so crummy and terrible, and short-tempered and irritable. And I started feeling petty and all these things that like, I don't want to show up like this. Like I started to feel like, ooh, like I don't even like who I am right now. This is not a good match here. And he kept going on and on about how many cars he sells and like he's got like a sob story background in his pocket that he pulls out his story about his, you know, 100 kids. And it was such a wild ride that I remember having these moments of self-awareness being like, this is crazy town. Like, how do we, this man has no idea what I want. He's checked out on who I am. He's just trying to sell me a car and I can feel it. Mm-hmm. And I am absolutely not purchasing from him. That made a huge impact on me. Mm-hmm. And then I found a different guy who I walked into his office and I didn't feel like he was trying to push anything on me.
Mm-hmm.
He was just trying to understand what I needed. Did I need a commuter car? Like, do I like fancy cars? Like, what are you into? And like, how are you going to use this car? And ask me all the right questions. And he was like, hey, this one looks like a good fit for you. What do you think? Night and day experience.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, thank you for sharing that. That I think we can all, most of us, maybe not all, but a lot of us can relate to that, whether it's cars or not, because we've had a good experience and we've had a not so great experience. I'm also like, I feel it's so interesting because I'm like, gosh, I feel like used car salesmen get such a bad rap, but there really are good ones out there. Like you just talked about one and I've had very similar experiences and it's amazing how you get that feeling, whether it's a car or walking into a department store or wherever it is, you get that feeling of like, I will buy anything that this person tells me to buy because I love them so much already, or I will never buy anything even if I love the product, but I'm not buying it from this person. Like it's...
Absolutely.
Like it can make such a big difference. And to loop this into the person listening, like we can set that up in our business. And I don't know why I'm getting this encouragement to share, like we're going to make mistakes as well. So like if someone's listening and they're like, I don't think I'm doing this that well right now, it's okay. Yeah. We're both going to tell you it's okay right now because it's not that you're not trying. It just takes time to figure it out. And also who we work with as service providers, mainly here listening, is like, it's going to change over time too. Mm-hmm. So you and I were talking before we hit the record button. Like I was like, I feel like I'm in this weird spot with my website. Like I've got to make some changes on my website because it was clear. Now it's not so clear because when things shift in business, you have to shift your other marketing. Like you have to shift the website, the Instagram, the whatever, and it can feel messy in the middle. So if anyone's finding themselves in like the, oh shoot, I'm messing up, like it's just part of the process. Would you agree?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Before I ran this business, I ran other businesses. So I've been self-employed for oh my goodness, since maybe 2009, and it's 2023
That's awesome.
Right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But whoa, can I tell you, it is always evolving. Like just when you think you've, I used to think I was striving for the end. And so it was very stressful that the goalposts kept moving. Mm. Business evolving was something that caused me pain and anguish and struggle. Why can't I get this right? As if there's some, finite end of the journey here where you have arrived and it is it and you have succeeded. And that is simply not what happens, or at least in my experience. And now I feel a lot more comfortable with the idea that business is just always evolving. Your understanding of your customer is always evolving. And you can't ever kind of finish that work because your customer evolves too. Mm. And your business and the way that you serve them evolves too. The market is evolving too. And so tapping into a sense of fluidity and giving yourself permission to play and see what works. And yeah, like it, there's an ebb and flow, not like a linear, I have arrived moment. And so there will be a messy middle and there will be another messy middle. And, right. And it's kind of, there are some times where it feels like it's only messy middle, but it isn't always. And I don't share this to, I hope this doesn't stress anyone out, because that's not the intention. There's certainly a lot of joy in being self-employed also, and periods where I do feel really, especially at this stage of my business, I do feel really secure in who I'm talking to and what I'm offering and how I'm helping. And that coexists with sometimes being in a messy middle. But I feel comfortable and confident at this stage in my business. And so if you're not at that place yet, it's okay. You're going to get there. You're on your own journey. You know, I feel free to listen to mine, but it's not yours, and that's okay.
Thank you for that permission. It's so important to remember that things change, because I was recently talking on someone else's podcast, and we were talking about how sometimes a change, an evolution in our business, any type of shift can almost feel, if we're not careful, we can almost think of it as a failure, of like, that didn't work. I have to change this thing. Whereas that's usually not it. And even if it, let's say something did fail, right? Like a business, you close one business and open the other. Sure, maybe one thing didn't work out in the end, but I truly believe you learn from that. And you, when you start over, you're starting with experience. And so the next shift, the pivot, the next business, whatever it is going to be easier to like get the momentum going. Do you agree?
Oh yeah. And it's it is so hard to see the little micro steps of improvement that I've made over the years. Mm. But if I time warp myself back to 2009, 2010, 2011, I'm like, wow, I didn't know squat. I've learned so much. But day to day, it can feel like such a small, like you're barely making any progress. I do believe that a huge part of what makes certain people successfully self-employed is honestly just that they have persisted, that they have continued where others were not able to or decided not to for whatever reason. Again, doesn't need to be conceptualized as a failure. Well, speaking of failures, okay. So the first business I ever started, I set up the LLC for, it never did any business. It was actually a clothing line straight out of high school. I was like, I want to be a clothing designer. And I set up my first LLC, never did a lick of business with it.
I love that you started it though. Like you were like, I'm going to do this thing.
Mm-hmm. And actually didn't know anything about how to properly close a business. So that business technically stayed open for many, many years without having the proper paperwork filed, and came back to bite me in the butt later. Ooh. So it felt like a failed first business. And then I felt like I got a kick in the butt, like 10 years, like it was still hurting me. And it was like, oh man, all right, that was a hard learning experience. Second business, I ran a kids face painting company for 10 years. That was a really fun business, and it closed. I was planning on closing it, or I was sort of wrapping up my experience with it, but I was pretty much forced to close my doors on because of COVID. Like face painting was not very popular.
And I'm not laughing at that. I'm just like, oh my gosh, you're totally right.
And so I, you know, as much as I was already on my way out, having my hand, like I felt like my hand was forced. Mm-hmm. And I had feelings about that. Fortunately, I had already started the business that I'm currently in, Katie Means Business, and serving people in the online business space, which great time to get into online business.
Right.
And so I got to start this third business with all of the experiences, failures and successes and struggles and everything under my belt. And this one has been by far the easiest emotionally. And so, yeah, it's, I've had, I could absolutely call some of those things failures, but at this point, like, I don't think I'd really do them any differently. Nor do I guilt myself over them. They're just things that happened. Mm-hmm. And we learn from them and we keep on trucking. If you are in a place where you're experiencing a lot of feelings around failure, I have found it really supportive to just talk with other online business people, which that in itself can be a little bit of a struggle because we're very much siloed to our own home offices a lot of the time. But if you can tap into some sense of community, even if you're not a huge community person, like I'm not, I do much better in one-on-one. I can be a little overwhelmed in group settings, but still seeking out a few relationships with other online business people that you can, you know, have a sidebar conversation with and just kind of vent and let it out and, you know, be around people who understand and who are going through these same feelings that you are, because these feelings are very different than the feelings that people go through in more like corporate settings, right? They have their own, there's some overlap there, but it's a special kind of burn when you feel like you failed in this setting. And so to have other people who are authentically sharing their own struggles just kind of helps you keep it at bay, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be my advice to anybody who's really going through it right now. Sending you a digital podcast hug and just talk to some people about it. It'll really help you kind of sort out your feelings and shake it off and get up again. Because like I said, I really think that as if there were some secret key to succeeding in business. But if I was going to say it's anything, like I really do think it's just like some people persist longer. Some people do shake it off, get back up and keep on trucking. Feel free to take some downtime if you sometimes you get that burn, it takes you a little while to keep on rolling, but getting back up is what keeps it going forward.
Yes. Oh my gosh. All of that. So many things. First, I'm like holding it in my head and I'm like, I love that idea, the phrase that you used, instead of saying that you failed at something or you were closing something down, you said, I was wrapping up that experience. And I thought, Oh, that's wonderful. You know, because it's more like you had control over it. Mm-hmm. Even though it was in the same moment that you were talking about COVID forcing your hand, you were like, but I wrapped up that experience. Like you took back that control of, I'm going to wrap this up and I'm going to start this new amazing business with people who are online, you know?
I know the listeners didn't get to just see that really adorable move that you just made, but she just kind of, Amanda just kind of wiggled at the camera like, I'm going to start this amazing. And she, oh, here we go. Feeling herself in her cool little cardigan. Yeah, I have figured out over time that the language that I use means a lot or impacts me a lot. And so, yeah, you think you just pointed that out.
It was good. You did well. I mean, it was, and it's something that we have to learn to do. You're talking about muscle and being a guide in your marketing, right? We have to flex the muscle of reframing things, in my opinion, so much as an entrepreneur. I mean, I don't know about you, but I thought I was okay at that muscle. I was
the
not
mindset
aware.
Work that this will ask you to do.
Yeah. That whole reframing of like, because there's so many things that come up and like you said, they feel different. So someone sending a mean email in corporate can royally piss you off. Like, I remember being pissed off. I can't believe this person said that. Someone sending an email and saying, I don't like the thing you created, I want a refund. It's a different hurt.
I think that approaching it from a place of love for yourself, not just for your client. I mean, for both ways. We want to create safety for them and for you. We want to support them and be that guide and stay curious and, you know, drop our assumptions and be there for them generously, but do it for yourself too. And that means leaving space for yourself to have these feelings or, you know, taking a break after you get a nasty email. Like maybe you do take, you know, an extra long lunch break that day and go for a long walk or call your best friend and cry, like just leaving room for the humanity of it and taking great care of yourself along the way. Like take excellent care of yourself as you go along this journey, because like you are in charge. You are the one that has your own back here. It's just you. If you're a solopreneur, like it's, you are the one who's got to come up with all the ideas, make all of them happen, be customer service, deliver the product, deal with upset customers. Hopefully that doesn't happen too often, but chances are if you stick around long enough, you'll have a couple,
right?
You know, and navigate all of these things, everything all at once, all at the same time. So just, oh my gosh. Deep breaths and be so kind to yourself.
I really appreciate that reminder. I think we all need that reminder. It's funny, as we're recording this, the day before that we recorded this, I got not a nasty email, but one that kind of punched me in the gut a little bit. Mm. And it was funny because not funny that I received it, but funny how I'm better at receiving some of these things at this point because I've navigated it. And I set a rule for myself back in corporate, in my corporate days, and it's 24 hours. If an email comes through and I am mad, like 24 hours, you can draft the email, Amanda, but you cannot send the email.
Like, great rule.
And you have to reread it again. Like, and it's a hard and fast rule. Now, I would say this. I say it's a hard and fast rule. However, there have been times in my business that I've broken the 24 hours, still given it a lot of space. But if I didn't want it to bleed into the next day, I would send, like, let's say it happened in the morning. I've been thinking about it all day. And like, I don't want it to bleed into the next day. I have broken that rule so that it didn't. But giving myself space, and in that space, I always talk to people. Like you said, reach out to other business owners.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You know, I recently wrote this book, and one of the chapters is about finding your people. And oh my gosh, that was like one of the most fun chapters for me to write because I believe in that so much of like, you got to find the people who support you, because as much as I like to be like, I'm a one woman show over here, look at me do all these things, there's a reason there are more people in a lot of businesses because it's so hard to do it on your own. And so you have to find your support. And just like you and I connected on a networking event.
So it was fun. Like, it was so random and so delightful. Yes. And now we're on a podcast. This is cool.
Right. And it came because, and I would say like, because you brought up a great point of like, some people feel really uncomfortable in some of these types of situations, so they would never sign up for something. And I would say, you don't have to sign up for all the things, but find something that you can sign up for, or you'll never meet that person. Mm-hmm. Like you and I both had to be like, yeah, I'm going to sign up for this thing. Like I was on a trip in a hotel room. I really like at that specific day, I didn't necessarily have all the time, but it was important for me to be like, I want to meet new people. I want to connect with new people that I have never met before. And our mutual friend Cher put together this thing. And I was like, I trust Cher. Whoever she invites to this thing, I want to know them. So that's how it worked for me.
I felt similarly, that networking event in particular was run by someone that I trusted to do a small batch experience of people who had a similarly aligned values that I do. There are a lot of networking groups out there. There are a lot of people that you can and will connect with. There are a lot of business owners for you to talk to, but that doesn't mean that they are all your people. So really, like, out of meeting you know, 50 people, I might find two that I'm like, right. Oh, you're my people that are like that, the same brand of weird that you are, that, you know, that look at the world through a similar lens that you do, that speak a similar kind of support and are able to be there for the way that, you know, you need someone to be there for you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, when I talk about networking and finding your people, I don't just mean like blindly going to lots and lots of networking events because mm-hmm. gosh, recipe for burnout. Right. But I do hope that you find your few core group of, you know, a couple people. And yeah, like I said earlier in this episode, I'm not great in like big networking environments. The burnout is just like, mm-hmm. and it took me a while. It took me a while to be honest with myself and say, you know, I can show up to this hour long networking event, but I'm going to have to take a 2-hour nap afterwards. Like, this is mm-hmm. a lot for me, energetically, and to give myself permission to say, wow, you know what? I'm not going to focus in on this kind of marketing. This kind of marketing makes me feel physically bad. Mm. And I don't want to, and I don't think it's because there's a mindset shift that I haven't gotten through yet. Mm-hmm. And that can be hard to decipher and discern, but rather, hey, this doesn't work for me. I don't like the way this feels, and I don't want to go in this direction. And focusing in on really small circles of people, personal connections, chasing one-on-one mm-hmm. time, that's been a much more successful route for me personally to find my joy in networking and find my joy in creating connection with people. So yeah, if anybody else out there has those introvert vibes, that's what worked for me.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think, you know, bringing it back to the idea of being a guide in your marketing, you can be a guide for yourself and how you want to market. And that's really what you just said of like, find what works for you. And sometimes I would say in maybe not sometimes it is. And what that means is you have to try different things and some things won't work out. That doesn't mean marketing's awful. It means that particular thing is not your thing. That's it. And so you can try something else. So as we are wrapping up, what would you like to leave everyone with today? If they could take one thing and you could just import it into their mind, what would it be?
And being a good guide, staying curious, lots of deep breathing, be nice to yourself. Like,
love that.
Those are the takeaway gems I wish on everyone.
That's wonderful. Well, I know everyone's going to want to know more about you and maybe how they can work with you and definitely learn more. So where can they find you on the internet?
Oh man, I love new internet friends. So feel free to come say hello. Popping up in my Instagram DMs always makes me smile. So I'm on Instagram at Katie Means Business. And my website is katiemeansbusiness.com.
Wonderful. I'll make sure to have all the links in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for being here today.
Likewise, it was a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed all of our examples and the idea of walking through IKEA and having that experience being very, very intentional. And I really appreciate what Caitlin said in all of this of, yes, we're creating an experience for our clients and our audience who's looking at our website and all of our marketing, but we also need to make sure it's a great experience for ourselves as well. And so I want to leave you with Caitlin's words because I just love this very simple phrase that kind of sums it all up. Caitlin said this, be a guide, stay curious, take care of yourself. And I just cannot get enough of it. Because if we approach our marketing and our business as being a guide and being very intentional in our marketing, and also being very curious in how we support our audience and our clients and really anyone that we're supporting, it could even be your employees when you're hiring other people. If we can stay curious about that, and then we can be intentional with the actions and all along the way, ensuring that we take care of ourselves, my gosh, that is a dream business. And so I want you to do that today. I want you to be that guide and start thinking about your marketing in this way and also being very curious. While I know you're a listener of your clients and people who are talking to you in your audience, I know you listen, but this is a new lens. If you can listen and be curious about how you can take that information and allow it to inform your marketing,
things are going to get much, much easier. So until next time, give yourself permission to be a guide through your marketing and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.